shy little Uber, glimmer, glimmer, lead us less too far. We want
good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here with my happy gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu in the house.
Happy time. Happy time. In the garden.
Yeah. Amazing what a little rain will do for your attitude.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Brings
really
on
nice.
The attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, that is for sure. And yeah. I think that was all. Every day was like that. It was heaven sent.
It was fabulous.
Sure. Yeah, I enjoy a walk in the rain.
Yeah.
I do too. And you know what? I have no problem with these hot days and these cold nights.
Oh, I know. I know what you mean.
Good.
The cold night.
Yeah. I'm good
just
with
sense,
it.
Just balances it all out.
It's just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a live call-in gardening show, and I know a lot of people have a lot of stuff going on in their garden. So
they better
be out there. We want to hear from you, and you can call us at 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. And you can email worm@kvnf.org. Okay.
You can do all kinds of things.
The availability.
Whole point is don't be scared and don't wait till the last minute.
That's
like
right.
All y'all always do.
Throw us the bone now.
Yeah. Get on the phone. Throw the bone. Oh, I love it.
I love it too. Let's talk about that rain because we've been waiting a long time and man, it was a good one and ooh.
I think
cooled
five tenths. I mean, half an inch.
That's
you
what
think?
I'm hearing, uh-huh. Half an inch.
Yeah, about a half an inch.
We'll take it.
You know, which doesn't do much, but it cleaned everything off and it refreshed. Nothing like distilled water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the plants are just happier with real rainwater. I mean, the color and
everything.
They seem to grow faster. And
it cleans everything off well.
All the dust.
All the dust gets down. And,
yeah.
And Lance, you mentioned that you planted right before the rain.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I did too.
if it's going to rain, I'm going to plant this stuff right now because it's going to get the perfect watering.
Yeah, I did too.
And the beets came up in 5 days and the cabbage came up in 4.
Oh, nice.
Nicey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I planted basil, cilantro, marjoram, and upland cress.
Oh, nice.
In all of the big pots, you know.
Right, right.
So it was perfect for the marjoram, right? Because the teeny, teeny, tiny seed. And so you just throw it out there and kind of make believe you pat it in. And then you just hope for the best.
Yeah.
So the rain came. I mean, I was wet when I got in the house. I
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
You took it right to the wire there.
I took it right
huh?
into
Here she
the
comes.
Very
yeah.
end.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, and just the cool air feels so good. And where I live, all the frogs are out now.
Oh.
I mean, all morning, all evening. I'd like to hear mm-hmm. that again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. No, I have, I think it's this year I have an enormous amount of toads. And I think it's just because of it's so dry, they've all congregated in my garden.
Sweet.
My dog has come into burying his ball in the sand pile, and I was digging for the ball,
and this big old toad. Oh, I love that.
That's great.
Surprise.
Hey, we've got our first caller on the line, and it's Amber from here in Peonia. Good evening, Amber.
Well, good evening, Worm.
Hi.
Well, good evening.
Good to hear from you, fellow Worm.
Yes. Well, I'm jumping in with a random question about ginkgo trees.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes.
So I was given a little cutting of a ginkgo tree like a couple of years ago, and I have grown it up in a pot, and I decided I gotta plant this tree. So I did some research last night to see how big and wide and all of that, and I ran into all this information about how much they sink in the fall because they drop fruit, and people say it smells like a combination of rancid butter and vomit.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Ginkgos come in male and female, so you might have a male.
Well, here's the thing though. I researched that too, and now they say that they will actually change sex in order to survive because of a gender imbalance. So later in life, males will turn into females.
Well.
See how smart, you know, there you have
it. Adapt or die.
I'm wondering if anybody out there has a ginkgo.
There's, yes, there's people right in Second Street.
Oh, really?
You've seen them mature? They have them in pots because the deer really liked them. And so they moved them.
Oh.
Yeah. So They moved
deer
them
legs.
In. Yeah, they had them in pots so they could move it closer to the house and put a fence around it.
Huh.
Yeah, but they do survive here. And I was surprised to see them at nurseries in Grand Junction. The tree mm-hmm. nurseries actually have ginkgo trees.
Interesting.
And it's not found, just a historical thing, it's not found wild in the natural state anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
So.
Why is that, do we reckon?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Well, that's interesting because it's considered a living fossil. It's been here for 270 million years.
Yeah, but it's not able to survive. Well, there's no wild forest of it anymore.
Huh. Wow, interesting.
Well, anyway, I'll let you move on, but I just wanted to put it out to our gardening community to see if anybody has bad experiences so I can consider my place.
Yeah, in Southern California, where I'm from, they use them as landscape trees. So,
yeah.
And I don't know how they dealt with the
But they
fruit.
Didn't have fall, so they wouldn't have stunk. Right.
Well, there's a semi-fall, shorter day lengths. They're mm-hmm. going to drop.
There
is a period
way.
Of time yeah. when they're deciduous and all the leaves are gone.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you,
anyway,
Amber.
You bet.
Okay.
Good to hear
Bye.
From you. Yeah, let's hear from somebody that
yeah,
might have
anybody
a ginkgo
know
tree
ginkgo?
Out there.
I never
a living
had
fossil.
I know, right?
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I never knew anybody who had one.
Yeah,
and
I haven't
had one.
Or heard of that. Yeah. 270 million years could be a little rancid mm-hmm. smelling.
Yeah. It's past its prime.
Yeah. Or just coming into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, God.
527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And we have Bill calling. He is new to the area, and he's calling from up on Fire Mountain Road here in Paonia. Good evening, Bill.
Oh, excellent.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hey. What's going on?
I've got this weed here that's called, is it called bindweed? Bindweed?
Yeah.
All right.
We're laughing.
Short of napalm, what can I do to get rid of this stuff? I don't want to use Roundup.
No,
I don't want to do any of that. I've tried pulling it.
Yeah.
And right now I've resorted to covering everything with cardboard and then piling enormous amounts of hay on top.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'll slow it down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, is this a newly done garden area? Did you just work it up and...
Yeah, and
no,
how,
no,
big,
no.
And
the
how
garden,
big is it?
The garden's been here. It's probably 40 by 30, maybe 40 feet by 30 feet. It's pretty big.
And it's throughout the garden?
No, it's in certain sections. But I'm concerned about it getting throughout.
Yeah, of course, you should.
Well, just it's one of those persistent things, and clean cultivation for 3 years minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we had, I think it was Ellen or Eileen that we talked about bindweed just a little bit ago.
Just a little bit ago.
Maybe the industrial vinegar.
Yeah,
We've tried that, and, you know, early in the year when you used it, it would, you know, it would brown the leaves out.
Yep.
But now with the heat, it doesn't do anything. It just, you know, it just chuckles at you and keeps growing.
And that rain really helped it along, didn't it?
oh, yeah, it did.
Do you have any neighbors that have sheep?
Or goats or chickens?
Because they love to eat that stuff. And,
you know, I'm concerned I'm eating about the few plants that I tried to plant this year.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. Right.
But maybe I should sacrifice it.
No.
I think
no.
That's
no.
my dominant weed, so persistence for me over the last 5 years has really helped out. I mean, it's still there, but not like it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I have the same experience, yeah. You just have to be persistent.
And you think smothering it is the best?
That's
you know, you could also try the black plastic routine,
mm-hmm.
where you put the black plastic down on the ground, but you want to leave a little bit of air space, and it gets so hot that it starts to cook it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't put any mulch on top of that black plastic.
You just put it.
Put the black.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't use clear plastic. Black plastic.
Black plastic, and you put it down like. Maybe you have, I don't know, just a couple of tree branches or something underneath or something so that it's not flat on the ground, but mm-hmm. there's a tiny bit of airspace between the plastic and the dirt.
Right.
And boy, I know people that have gotten along pretty mm-hmm. well with that method.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lance, okay. Didn't you mention once that the more you pull it, and you can't get that whole root, but when you pull it or chop it, that changes its structure?
Yeah, well, you chop it off once, it has that main root underneath has to maintain two shoots now, or three. Mm-hmm. You chop it off, and then it has to do six or seven more. And instead of getting that one deep root, you keep on chopping it off. And that's why I say clean cultivation.
Right.
And it'll take 3 years for that all the protein or carbon in them horizontal roots down, 2 feet down, or wherever
1,000 feet down.
Yeah, the hard pan is.
20 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of organic matter because they like alkaline soil, and the looser the soil gets, and if there's hard pan, those are the things that's what it indicates.
Mm-hmm.
That's the soil indicator.
Okay. It indicates a denser, harder soil. So, loosen her up and just keep that clean cultivation going.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Yeah. Appreciate
it. Thanks for calling, Bill. Thanks for listening. And good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. You know, the chicken thing works, though. If you
bindweed, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told you guys before that when I had it in my back garden. Oh, you know the other thing, Bill? Don't let any water get on it. I mean, I know it can survive on the side of the highway in Delta, but the less you give it, the more chance you have of getting rid of it.
Starve it out.
Yeah. But the chickens got rid of mine. And that was exactly it. It was that clean cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let them graze back there for two or three years in a row. They were grazing back there, and it worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Feels pretty good when it gets cleared out.
Well,
too.
You can fence it off.
Yeah, a little chicken tractor.
You can fence it off and put chicken in there and let them at it. Mm-hmm. Just keep moving around.
There you go. Yeah, chicken tractor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little chicken bed in there, whatever. But anyway,
all right. Good to hear from someone new to the area and trying to get their garden going.
Yeah, how exciting is that?
It is. Let's hear from some more people. A lot of people move to this area mm-hmm. For the opportunity to garden in this wonderful valley.
Yep. Got to be a lot of people wondering what they're going to do when their well runs dry.
Yeah. When is the well running dry, yeah. right?
It ran dry up on Minnesota there. I mean, up on O Road, Phil and Willie's garden there. They're working on their water system up there. And
wow.
It's pretty much out.
Yeah. That was one of the things of the rain is just to see the ditches fill up and mm-hmm. the water running. Felt mm-hmm. great.
It did. Yeah. Which also brings up another thing. Okay, so it's the mosquito thing, right? So now there might be water in places where there hasn't been water for a long time. And the frog thing. You were just saying, Jill, your frogs were going mm-hmm. off.
Right.
Right?
They must be chomping on those mosquitoes, huh?
Yeah, Hope they must be. And they're also, must be something back there. Is it the peepers going... You know, the little mm-hmm. people.
Yeah,
bugs.
The little ones, yeah.
There's got to be some water back there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my ditch is pretty full, and I'm surprised because it did kind of move downward and got a little nervous.
Pretty dried out mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, so that's what's going to happen. You know, there's going to be these little flushes of mosquitoes. So mm-hmm. check around, check your properties, get some dunks, call the mosquito guys will come out and do a barrier spray for you, and if you need that, or just get those little dunks.
Yeah,
and they're totally harmless. I had somebody ask me the other day, well, what else do they kill? Well, not much.
Yeah,
mosquito specific.
They're very. It's very mosquito specific. I think there are a few other when they're in that
larval stage
that. Might be affected by it, but as a rule, no.
What about bats? Because you know a lot about mosquitoes, Lulu.
Well, the thing about the bats is, A, we don't have that many around here, and B, if you were a bat trying to munch on something in flight using your radar, You can get a lot. You can get mosquitoes, but you want a lot of them, you mm-hmm. know. And would you rather go chasing down one humble little mosquito that's going to give you however many calories, or would you rather go after a big fat moth?
There you go.
You know, the moth is going to win every time because then you're done. You know, you go back to your cave and hang upside down. You know. And literally, you go back. You literally go back to your cave and hang. It's cool.
Right on.
So yeah, so they, you know, they prefer. I mean, they definitely eat mosquitoes, but there's not that many bats here.
Yeah, some people have bat boxes up, mm-hmm. and like to see those critters when you can.
Yeah, it would be good to try and bring more on. They suffered mightily with that ring nose.
Oh,
white
right.
nose
right.
ring disease they had. So any you can get is going to be good. I'm surprised somebody's not cultivating them.
Yeah, right. You
know, maybe they are. Who knows?
Maybe they could let us know.
Yeah, maybe somebody knows. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
There you go. Let's hear from you. Okay, with it being so dry, Lance, I had a question from some listeners about the timing of fruit trees, and do you think things are early? Do fruit trees try to adapt to knowing that it's hot and dry and try to put their fruit out earlier? You know.
All these things.
Yeah.
Well,
what are
first,
you feeling or seeing?
Everything's early.
Everything's early.
Everything's early. And normally, even though we have cherry days, 4th of July here in Peonia, normally, the cherries are not ripe here. And this year, the cherries in Peonia will be ripe next week.
Well, isn't that good timing?
So yes. That's two or three weeks early.
Right. And I absolutely concur. My cherry tree is loaded. And every day I have to go out and eat one. And, I think they're a week out. Just about a week out.
Yeah. But they'll try to mature early. And if they, if it's really dry or something, they'll do one of two things. They'll do one is the fruit will be small, and the other one is that they'll drop the fruit,
mm-hmm.
and because they're trying to reproduce,
mm-hmm.
and they'll keep what manage what they can to reproduce.
Right.
They
right.
can seed, in other words,
mm-hmm.
and the stone fruit do a little bit better in drought.
Explain stone fruit because somebody
peaches,
might
plums,
mm-hmm.
Cherries, apricots, and the
stuff with the big pit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then there's the apples and pears, and they like a little bit more water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know,
and you mentioned your plums are June dropping all over the place.
Well, not all over, but they still mm-hmm. are.
They still are.
Yeah.
Your
and
plums?
Some, yeah.
Man, my plums are staying on, and there's a gajillion.
No, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And good grazing going on
right
now. Right?
And, mm-hmm. well, not for the plums, but,
not the plums,
but
the
some other stuff.
Berries and...
Yeah, and the plums are... The tree is already drooping.
Well, yeah, I've hoisted my trees up already. I'm prepared. I'm going to get that fruit
nice
this
work.
Year. Looking
nice
for
work.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jane is on the line, and she has a bat comment.
Oh, great.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I just want to – it's a little bit late, and I can comment on plums, too. But
go ahead.
My nephew and I built this house 20 years ago. I made one – part of the house a gable roof instead of a mm-hmm. hip the rest of the house so I could fit this beautiful bat house he bought me for Christmas.
Nice.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's big and it's just gorgeous and it's, bats like to be near water. Well, I have a pond close by on either side and so far in 20 years I've had no bats and a lot of paper wasps and lizards living in that house.
Yeah.
So the reality is, I think, as she said, moths are better. And the plums, I'd like Lance to comment on the difference between Japanese plums and Italian plums.
Oh.
My
oh.
Italian plums are very heavy all over the tree and they're not dropping. But Lance, I think, has both. So I'd love to hear him comment.
Oh,
okay.
Well, the
hang up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
The Italian plums, European plums are oblong and
Asian, Oriental.
And the Asian are round.
Yeah.
And the Asians generally need pollinators and the Europeans don't. And what I have is Farrow. I think it's Farrow plum, and that's the one that's still dropping, and it's an Asian plum because it's round. And I just, even though I got fruit on the trees, 23 degrees is still feeling the effects of it. And I'm just seeing when it was, we had that.
Oh, early.
Uh-huh. Even though, and they made it through it somehow. Maybe it wasn't 23 degrees for very long. So those are the ones that are dropping. But the Italian or European plums are staying on.
Right.
Yeah, how are you staying on? I'll tell you what.
Yeah, my Santa Rosa plum, it sounds like it's a European, but that's just a name. It's round. It's an Asian plum.
Okay.
And that one's pretty thin.
All right.
There you have it.
Good to know.
I hope that answers your question, Jane.
But, yeah. The one, like I said, one, the Asian plums need a pollinator, and the European plums don't.
Okay. Good information.
Yeah.
Love the, all of these calls tonight.
I know.
Keep
we love
them coming.
It when you guys call in, because mm-hmm. then it just, I don't know.
It's a good conversation.
It spurs our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And we and Lance and I get to look at each other and go, uh-oh. Oh.
you answer. No, you answer.
No, you answer. Right? So that was great. Jane goes, no, Lance, the ball's in your court. I love that.
You're off the hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we could always play Stump the Chumps.
There you go. We're up for anything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, 527-4868-1866. KVNF now. And Lulu... you mentioned about scapes and that you're just eating Dickens out of the scapes.
Yes.
Just full of scapes.
Oh, God. I chopped up some for breakfast this morning and I thought, well, I'll just use this much, right? Wrong. I used all of them. So now I'm thinking I might chop some, slice them up and dry some out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say scapes, but it's garlic scapes, which are the they're immature flowers on the hardnecks.
Yep,
is what it is. Just so people know.
Yeah,
that
just so you know what a scape is. Okay, so mm-hmm. if you're growing a hardneck squash, it'll send
garlic.
Up garlic. I'm sorry.
You are all scaped out.
I am.
Where
I swear
are you
to God.
Scaped out?
Yeah, totally. You know, because I just planted my squash, and I was thinking about where I was going to plant it next year, which is where the garlic is now. So you see, that's what happens when you have an ADD brain. It just goes bleep, bleep, bleep. Anyway, so the scapes come off the garlic, and they do these beautiful curlicue
things.
They're
perfect.
They're so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they're perfect. Yeah, you chick like you do a mm-hmm. carrot, right? And
right.
And they're just perfect. They're just perfect.
Couldn't get better than
they,
that.
No, and they every you just are scaped out, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And one of the reasons you don't have to cut them off to get garlic,
right.
But the reason why they do is they make the garlic bulbs, the cloves, bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Because
the
plant's not putting energy not just in bulb but also in seed production.
Right. Yeah. Right. So
and the softnecks,
sends it all to the bulb.
The softnecks do have a seed thing, but it's on the side down lower.
Right, those little bobbles that get on down there.
Down lower. So they're not they
so
do
elephant
have,
garlic is a soft neck?
Elephant
I
garlic
never
is a leek.
Oh
that
God,
a
that's
leak.
Right. Duh. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also has babies on the side.
And it also has babies on the side.
Like the leeks do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Well, leeks do the same thing. They kind of there's a center part, and then there's the ones growing up
mm-hmm.
the head. Well, it's
mm-hmm.
like rhubarb does the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, kind of spreads out. Spread out, you know.
Yeah, you sent a picture of your rhubarb about a week ago, and that stuff, I mean, you could have got lost in that patch, little girl.
I know. It was scary. And the rhubarb, oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, it's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost picked all of it, but then I left some.
Mm-hmm.
And that little garden is going to get, it's going to be the extras for later planting garden.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
It's going to have a little bit of lettuce and then a little bit of late something else and a little bit
mm-hmm.
of late something else, whatever.
Yeah, I love how both of you do that.
Radicchio in there.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, radicchio would be perfect in there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do some of that.
I love how you both turn your beds over and use them for different plants. And that's good for the soil. And
Yeah,
it's good for everything because the soil here, no matter what you do to it, it wants to be clay. So the more covered it is or the more you're encouraging below the soil growth and roots and rhizomes and mycorrhizae and all that other stuff, the better off you are.
Yeah, and encourage and that. Simple. You want soil, not dirt.
Yeah, you want soil.
Clay.
Yeah. Well, although I'm at the point that where some of the early plantings will be coming out, and I'm going to one area particularly, I'll go in there. I'll put an inch of compost on that, and I'll broad fork it. I'm not going to turn that, so I'll just broad fork it and plant right in that.
Oh, huh.
And that's what I'll be doing in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
All right. And you're also going to be harvesting your grain. Was it rye?
Rye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to harvest that. And I don't know if this is common with rye or it's just the variety I have, but if you let it dry out completely on the stalk in the ground there, I'll lose that 50% of the grain will fall on the ground. So I'm going to harvest this.
Well, it's maybe still a little moist.
On the green side, let's put it that side.
Okay, on the
and
green side.
Tie it in stalks, which I always do, or bundles, and I'll put that inside mouse proof, the garden room or in the house, and let it completely dry out on the stalk. And that way, if the grains fall, it's on the floor, and I can sweep it up and clean it.
Right. Good idea.
Now, also with your grain and other plants, when you get a good rain like that that comes in and everything's so dry, you can have your plants or grain lodge over.
Fall over.
Yeah. And so generally, do you help those plants out and try to get them to stand back up again, either tie them up or stake them up?
So the grains, all I'm doing is putting string around the edges to get it off of the pathways. And otherwise, I'm going to just let them do their thing. You know, they won't stand up. It'd take a tremendous amount of work to get them all off the ground.
Right.
And I'm not going to
do that. That's a lot of work.
And they're still going to ripen.
And one falls one way and one falls this way. It's like pickup sticks.
Oh, yeah. Remember
pickup
that?
Sticks, you know. Yeah. And they're all over the place. So it's better just to get them off the ground. And I'm not watering them anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. And we only have a couple more minutes, and I just want to talk about thinning in general, because thinning is a good thing all over with any kind of plant.
Necessary.
Most necessary. Yeah.
And if you thinned any of the stuff, well, I'm thinned, let's make lettuce or spinach or finocchio. If you thin to 2 inches and let them get a little bit bigger, because you really want them at 4 inches, but you got this really nice plant to eat.
Okay.
Know. Well, yeah. And the other thing, too, is you don't want to thin to your maximum space right off the bat, because then what happens if the roly-polies or a slug or, you know, some cutworm or a grasshopper
or
gets
a wild
in there,
dog.
Or, you know,
wild and playful dog.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
And somebody threw the ball in the wrong direction.
Oh, dear. Right? So you're kind of hedging. You got to hedge your bets.
Yeah. So I actually have thinned my zinnias 3 different times. The marigolds, 3 different times. Now they're at a 6-inch spacing. They're big enough. Nothing's going to really bother them.
Right.
So start out small, but keep going at it and give that plant some room.
Right. Give it room to move.
And you know, and you can tell as you're thinning which ones are going to really do well. So you get to leave them. You know, you actually get a choice.
Right. You get a choice, and that's the thing.
Even when I'm on my knees thinning carrots, those little seed things, you can tell which carrots are growing. Going to be a big carrot, much more vital, shall we say.
Sure.
Yep. They just give off a different vibe altogether. Yeah. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take the weak ones out. And fruit, specifically apples, you've been thinning pretty hard.
Yeah. I was surprised I had that many in those. The Fuji and the Golden, I took 70% on the ground. Well, actually, it's not. I don't leave them on the ground. I pick those thinnings and put them in the compost, pick them up. And the reason I do that, in the orchards they don't do that, but you know, I have a yard and it's lawn underneath. And if anybody's walking or me, it's no fun walking on that stuff.
Right.
It's not. And it's also, the cleaner you keep your dirt and your ground, the better off you are.
Yeah.
Especially with the apples.
The fruit will Yeah.
It just rots, and then you got a nasty rotted spot.
So all those things get picked up. And so, like I said, the Fuji and the Golden, I took about 70% off, and I'm taking about 50% off on the Granny, and then I'm done.
Okay. So don't be afraid to thin. Yeah. It's kind of like pruning. Go mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff tonight. And thanks to Amber and Bill and Jane for their calls. Love that.
Yeah. Always makes it fun.
It does make it fun. Yeah.
It opens up the conversation, which is what it's all about, mm-hmm. really.
And the rest of you now have to wait till next Tuesday at 6:30. So we'll be listening for you. Same time, same place. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. So thanks for listening to KVNF and As the Worm Turns.
Okay, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Who you're out to make a sign to? I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.